likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, saying, And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses.
Bro Rich, you my right hand man today.
All right. Well, again, to use your term, that is it is definitely pregnant. I mean, Jesus makes a a great contrast. You know, I've listened and read. They said that the amount of debt that the first master forgave the slave was, I've heard anywhere from 16 million down to a million. I mean, a vast number. And then that same guy that was forgiven of the millions of dollars of debt, you know, the guy owed him, I've heard, anywhere from a couple hundred to a couple thousand.
If it was in gold, it'd be about $4.6 billion. Because the talent, that 1,000 talents would equal 800,000 pounds of gold. Gold right now runs at about $700 a troy ounce. It'd be about between $4.6 billion.
A lot of money.
And the pence would be between, I think, $280 and $480.
So it's a, so something fast, and he couldn't forgive him. You know, when Jane was making her point, you know, that made me. You know, I was thinking of this. I didn't want to jump too far.
I did too, and I held myself back.
Thinking of this. But just saying, you know, the bottom line, so often we don't reverse the situation. You know, I mean, this is saying, this is really equating to the sin that God has forgiven us of. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, we owe God a debt, the bottom line, that we can't pay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that if somebody owes us a debt, we definitely ought to forgive it. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that it's going to be easy. One thing, though, I will say, I was talking to my niece, and we were talking about forgiving people. And, you know, I was saying, and you all tell me what you think if I'm wrong, but I'm saying, you know, this is when a person, you know, when you're forgiving a person, when you see that they're trying to make it right, you know. But if a person does something and You know, it's like, yeah, I know I did it, and I don't care that I did it, and I'm not sorry that I did it. You know, I don't think the passage is calling for forgiveness in that situation. You know, it doesn't mean that you hate them or hold malice, but if the person doesn't want the debt wiped out, then why wipe it out?
What do you think, you all? I can't hear you. And why?
Because if you're going to forgive, you're going to forgive. And there's a lot of times people, you forgive them and they don't want your forgiveness, but you do your part. It's just like the teacher can get up and teach the lesson. Some students are going to get it, some not. But you're not going to stop teaching to the students that don't get it because they sit there and refuse to pay attention or whatever. You still do your part. And so I think if it says to forgive, then you forgive because you want forgiveness. And there are a lot of times when we're out there sinning, doing what we're big and bad enough to do, you know, we're totally discounting God and His grace and that He has all power. But there is going to come a time when we recognize who He is and we're going to want that forgiveness. And we don't want it to be where you had the opportunity, just like this rich man and with the other guy, the one who didn't owe as much. You know, he had the opportunity to forgive the lesser person, but he didn't. So I think with us, we should make sure that our slate is always clean, that we always did our part, whether the recipient accepts it, acknowledges it, or whatever. We've done our part.
Who else sees it that way, that if the person doesn't ask for it, doesn't really want to be forgiven, that the passage still is saying forgive them? Who else sees it that way? Okay, Mary, tell us why, please. Anybody else?
I've always felt along those same lines.
Anybody see it differently with Rich? Hmm? Does anybody see it differently? Gary, you have your hand up?
No.
It looked like when he was rubbing his eye. Does anybody else see it that if the person does not ask for it, this passage is not saying forgive somebody that didn't ask for it?
Well, I can see what, you know, if a person has wronged you, and, you know, if they don't try to make it right, there's still nothing wrong with you approaching that person and letting them know how you feel. And so I forgive you anyway, you know. That's the way I look at it. I could see where he was going with that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Even if we go back to the previous passage where it says, you know, where you go to the brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take the witness to the brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then it says if the brother it doesn't won't even go along with the mm-hmm. church, it says treat him as a publican. You know, and that and it's like I believe Tim said, you know, that doesn't mean that I'm gonna hate him or that I'm looking out to get him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's saying that I'm going to do him justice. And I think the passage bears out that, I mean, bottom line is, I think Christ is using the model that he's using with us. So even in the case of the first guy was saying, I believe, you know, to Christ, hey, I owe you all this, but so what?
Mm.
You know,
dude, that's good.
I don't think, you know, I mean, yeah. That's the bottom line. That's why some people are going to hell, because mm-hmm. they don't care, because they don't see God and Christ. So I think it's the same model. It's if the person is repentant, if the person wants it, you know, then do it. But it doesn't mean that, okay, if the person is not repentant, you know, then, hey, I can get my gun and shoot them and say, or do whatever, you know, doesn't mean that. But at the same token, though, it's recognizing that this person doesn't care.
Yeah, and we don't have the same relationship either.
We don't have the same relationship anymore.
You're no longer what I would call a brother or a sister.
Right.
Some of the privileges you may have been afforded, they're gone now.
Right.
You know, I have to, your status change.
Right.
So most people don't change the status. It's like we just go on like nothing ever happened. You know, and you know, you can keep on, keep doing the same thing because you really wasn't repentant.
Right.
And I still keep trusting you with things, still trying to treat you like a brother when clearly you're not.
Or a husband when you're cheating on me.
So, I guess for clarification then, it sounds like you're talking about consequences. I think it seems like you can still forgive someone because that's what you should do, as opposed to letting bitterness set up in your heart against someone. But there'd be consequences because of the way he or she or they chose to reject that responsibility of getting things right. So. Is that kind of more what you're saying? You know what I'm saying?
I guess we're going to have to define forgiveness then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about forgiveness, does anybody have a concise definition of how they see forgiveness? I'm glad. Go ahead.
I thought you were going to say something.
No, I was just going to say, I'm glad you asked.
Well, some people say you don't remember anymore, and that just sounds crazy.
That's not biblical, that's not intelligent.
But I mean, I've even heard like some, I guess, ministers or people who are instructors of the Bible, at least, and I've heard them some say that, and I'm like, that's crazy. I mean, if I got a scar and you gave it to me, and not that it's got to be a scar, but if I see that, you mean tell me I can't remember how I got it?
Mm-hmm.
You mean I can't remember that it was unpleasant? I mean, like, that just don't make sense. That means... That makes no sense to me, but I would say in that you don't feel like you got to strike back, or that there should be some kind of form of vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm not saying retribution, because there needs to be punishment. I'm thinking in Spanish. Some kind of punishment or retribution.
What's the word in Spanish so we can learn a new word?
I was thinking castigo, but that's like...
Castigo?
Castigo.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking, but... So, I'm not saying it, but in the sense where you feel like you got to get them back, because it's like, you hurt me, I'm finna get you, you know, as opposed to letting maybe, in some cases, if it has to go legal, if it's somebody who's not within the body or whatever, I mean, I guess it gets a little complicated. I think overall it seems like that we would still need to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I look at forgiveness, in one case, forgiveness can be that I take what you've done upon myself and I bear the burden.
Mm-hmm.
I suffer the loss and you don't have to worry about suffering the loss. I've taken it all.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's another forgiveness, whereas I don't hold the acrimony or the animus. The ill feeling toward you, but you're going to pay the consequence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to take it on myself, but you're still forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Someone, if you can find it, you know, that what I'm saying is different, then I'm up to, we all here to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Contrary to what some people think, I don't know everything. I just try to read and learn as much as I can. But the model that Jesus shows is that when he forgives, he takes the load on himself.
Mm-hmm.
He takes it and he takes the sin of us, and we don't have to pay for our own sins,
mm-hmm.
insofar as ultimate. But we still have consequences to pay, yet while we're in forgiveness. And he doesn't hold the anger, the wrath
mm-hmm.
on us. But those that don't take it, they bear it. So in the case of this passage, if we look at it as we forgive and we don't hold the anger, then I would say that, yes, you would forgive anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that would be necessarily based on this passage, but based on other stuff that we know in the Scripture. I would see that in this passage that when we forgive somebody, we don't arbitrarily just, let me give you a case in point. Man go out and kill your child, you just say, I forgive him. A man go out and rape somebody, you don't even know him, but you forgive him. A man go and lay up with women in the church and have his own nephew as his son, and he's raping his daughters, and the members say, we forgive him. First of all, he didn't do that to you per se, he did it to them. Mm-hmm. Number two, in this passage, the man came to the man that he wronged, and when he was called in question, just like Jesus said, when somebody trespasses against you, you go to him. Mm-hmm. He called an account. Oh, what's up? Mm-hmm. Where my money? Where my 1,000 talents? And it said that the dude, a buddy, or the man, whichever way you like to talk, fell down and worshipped. Mm-hmm. And when you read that word worship, that's like a dog licking his master's hand. He showed total humility. Mm-hmm. And said, I don't have it. But if you give me time, I'll pay it all. Mm-hmm. Now, some people think he could never pay it. I disagree. Depends on who he is. Mm-hmm. Let's say if it was King Manasseh or one of the kings that was in Israel when Tiglath-Pileser was over and they just quit paying tribute. Could he not have gotten up the talents then maybe the next year? Oh, yes, he could. But that's still an astronomical amount. The point whether he could pay him back or not, I don't think that's the issue. I think mm-hmm. the issue is you did it and you're worthy of death right now. If it's just a regular man, no, he could never pay it back. And that may be where it was. But in reading, I saw somebody bring that point up that it seems as if this is king dealing with a vassal king. And I was able to look at that and say, how was he able to go get somebody that owed him as if he was that person's lord? I said, okay. Mm-hmm. I said, pretty good. Thank you, Lord, for somebody else allowing me to be able to cheat off their labors. But when he goes and get the man, and it would take time for him to pay about a half a year's wage mm-hmm. at that time, but it could be done. But you didn't want to wait. You wanted to keep him in that bondage. You wanted to keep that person cut off. But in both cases, the men asked.
They asked. Mm-hmm.
And here's the key. Somebody does something to you, and even if they just think you don't know it, or they just going right along with their own merry way because they're insensitive, because people will owe you money and won't pay you. By the way, is there anybody out here I owe money to? I don't want to be teaching this and doing it. Just put your hand down. I know I owe you any money. You will get over on me. But you find too many people that call themselves ministers that will owe you money and won't pay you. And it's like, if you don't say nothing, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Well, in this particular case, the man said something. Mm-hmm. And he forgave him. That was a picture of the Father. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. God does not forgive us for our wickedness and our sin and place us in his eternal kingdom just because you're living and breathing. Mm. And just because you can go out there in the sun and work up a sweat and smell bad. No. What happens is you have to repent. You have to make the change. You have to show that I'm wrong and that I owe you, and then forgiveness can take place. Mm-hmm. Why, if he wants us to be like him, will we just go arbitrarily and just forgiving people and saying everything is okay when it's not? Mm-hmm. It's not okay. Yep. Retribution has to be made. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, if you're going to hold that envy and that bitterness and that hatred on that person, but I'll do like David, I'll pray against him. Lord, do something. Lord, make them see. Defend my cause. But we have to be in a position where we don't take the vengeance. But I have to say that in this passage, when a person wrongs you, and they know that they've wronged you, when you've confronted them about it, and they ask you to forgive them, the Bible said we're supposed to do it.
Right.
Now, and I believe it's the person coming with the attitude. The man fell down. He showed humility. He wasn't like, hey, man, I owe you so. I pay you when I get ready. Mm-hmm. It didn't add that kind of element in there. It added the element of humility.
Right.
But it didn't say that the man said, these men owe me money, I just forgive them. Mm-mm. And that's what a lot of people see that passage is saying. Mm-mm. Now, the juice. In this passage, we find somebody being called wicked. Do we see anybody in this passage committing fornication, or adultery, or murder, or stealing, or lying, or hating, or committing parricide, genocide, or infanticide. Do we see any of that? In this passage, a man is called wicked. Why is he called wicked in this passage? Somebody please explain to me why I can be quiet and let somebody else talk. Why is a man in this passage being called wicked?
Because he didn't forgive the way he had been forgiven. Mm-hmm. And it was a command for it to be done.
It actually seems like it's like he should have known to do it.
Yeah, it does.
As opposed to him right. telling to forgive. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if, why didn't you mirror me? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was the consequence of that?
His forgiveness was taken away.
It was revoked.
Wait a minute. What y'all to feel this? This man had been forgiven, right?
That's right.
He had been saved from the wrath that he was going to get, right?
That's right.
He had been restored, right?
That's right.
Everything was at peace, right? Mm-hmm. And this man did not forgive him. What happened?
His forgiveness was revoked.
No! Wait a minute, but in this passage, who is this man, the first one, considered to be like, according to verse 31?
God.
If this is the picture God made by the picture of his son, why is it some people make it as if God can't revoke forgiveness? Well, somebody say, Tim, you can't press a parable with too far. You're like Bugs Bunny. You can't press a parable with too far. You can't go too far with the parable. But it's like, do I let you tell me how far to go? In this passage, we've been talking about since 18 jumped on the scene. We've been talking about how to be great, what's required to be great, that Jesus wants you to be successful, that he is holding you accountable for being successful. And I'm setting the blueprint down. First, you need to see spiritually instead of temporally. And if you're going to be great, humble yourself. And that you become as little children, and it don't you do anything to offend one of those that become like one of my children is trying to be great. When there's a problem, you go and try to restore. And then he shows that, look, if you got an issue, go deal with the person. Don't let it fester. Mm-hmm. And if the person here, then I got it like I want it. I got offensive mood. But if the person won't hear, let's count him out so that we can keep the peace and the equanimity in the group. Then after I show you all of that, I come and tell you that whatever you do, when you're doing it my way, I'm behind you. Mm-hmm. I got your back. I got your front. I got your center. I got your eternity. Then I'm going to give you an illustration and make it clear. All of you are old daddy. Mm-hmm. You owe him more than you could ever give. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And if you could give it, it would take you so long. But you all don't have this kind of money. And I use numbers like this, and you all know you can't, because I'm going to make you understand it's about you all. And then when you teach, you can teach it about others. Now, when one of you all do something to one another, and you do try to go and get it right, because you don't want that offense thing on you in the millstone and your neck, and it'd be good enough for you to be dead. So you go and you try to get forgiveness. Don't you tell me that one of you all are going to treat each other like, No, it ain't. Yeah. I'm going to cut you off. I have nothing else to do with you. I'm going to keep you bound up in this prison of unlove. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep you owing me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you owe me. I'm going to let it be that I can always feel the hurt because you owe me. And I'm never going to forgive you. And Jesus is saying, if you're like that, you are wicked. You don't ever have to cheat on your wife. You don't have to go and molest children. You don't have to be a liar. All you got to do is that you don't model my pattern of success that I'm giving you. All you got to do is show that you're willing to let this strife exist in my kingdom and that you're not willing to restore this sheep that's on the mountainside that's trying to get forgiveness like my daddy did you, and that's wicked. This passage is teaching us how to be successful. But it might not ever put a dime in your pocket. It might not even make you well if you have bad eyesight. It might not even let you bind a demon. But what it will do, it will make you great in the sight of God. It will cause you to bow down to his will. It'll cause you to be like a little child. It'll cause you to be careful who you offend. It'll cause you to be able to want to, those that are lost, to try to bring them back. I know people think that we are lost, but how many of them try to bring us back to God instead of backing around them? And then it lets you know that even in this passage that I'm behind this, this is what I want. And if two of you would just agree with my word, and if two or three of you would come and just really try to make this thing where you can have your own little trial, where you all can deal with each other with my word, I'm there. I'm adjudicating. If you get mistreated, I'm there. I'll deal with it. If it's done right, I'm happy. And just in case you don't get it, let me show you a picture. I'm going to show you a picture when you don't forgive. When your brother wants you to. I'm going to show you. Because the whole thing is about keeping the family. If we got our own families, Ann and I and the boys, Dree and Gary and the babies, Stacy and her family, etc. If you got your home right, when you come to the assembly, this should just be an extension of what's in your home. But if you're willing to live with bitter and strife and envy and wickedness in your home, and you're not trying to straighten it out in as much as you can, don't come here thinking that, well, you know what, we got it going on over here. No, he is there in the midst. Now, I understand there are things that can be out of your control. I don't know everything my boys do when they're not around. I don't. I mean, they got one to be 18 in 2 months. I got one that's already 19. But I thank God that he's given us what we have respect in the home. And I don't really hear them doing a whole lot of wickedness. If they are doing wickedness and I don't know it, I thank God that they don't come and bring me every piece of wickedness. Because they know I'm not the one that's going to be happy with it. But I'm always talking to them about God. 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 And other stuff. But why can't we look at this passage and see that there are times that we've been wicked? Jesus called a lot of stuff wicked. We call it a mistake. Now, here's the question. Is Jesus right or we right? He calls a lot of stuff wicked that we would let slide. It's wicked when we won't try to get things right with our brother. It's wicked when we won't try to get things right with our sister and forgive. And sometimes the very person that we won't forgive, we're in the wrong. We just won't hear the truth. We have such an obstreperous mind and insolent attitude and what we call hard-headed, bull-headed. And it's like we don't want to be tender in love. We feel like we're going to be vulnerable. But in this passage, it says once you are vulnerable, anybody that mess with you, they're in a dangerous position. Now, I get warm when I think about this. Because God allowed me to be here, and you all allow me to lead this group. And leading this group don't mean being a totalitarian dictator. What it means is learning to serve. And a parent that's a real parent serve that child enough to get them up where they can do on their own. You're not a good parent. You got to still be buying groceries for your kids 30, 40 years old and paying their car note and their car insurance and got them an apartment and all. No! A real parent tries to build the child up so that they can do the same thing. Well, God sent his son to model it so we could do the same thing, that we can represent him in the earth. Now let's do it. Let's take this passage to heart and be successful. Like God said, I wasn't supposed to get upset, but I get upset for him sometimes. Did anybody else got something to say on this? Because I basically said what all I need to say on it. And three, Gary, Rich Lee, that rhymes. Stacy, Mom, Jane. Was there anything that was misunderstood, Jelly? Did you have a question on Ashley? Because sometimes Ashley had a good question. Well, I would just go ahead and see. Was there a hand that I didn't see back there, Marilyn, and pop? Well, let's consider ourselves dismissed. I will pray, and then I'll turn off the machine. Father, thank you for your blessed word. I ask you to help us to live up to the expectations that you have. and understand that we are accountable. Success is a mandate by your son. And we're going to have to see spiritually to be able to get it. Help us, guide us, and lead us in the blessed name.